Yea, my people, and I say unto you this day, have I not spoken to you in times past that I am a mighty God? Have not I spoken to you in times past that I am the God that shall tear down the strongholds of Satan? Yea, have not I even told you that I would use you to tear down the strongholds of Satan? And yea, I say unto you this day that there is a revelation of God that's going forth. Only his elect shall see it, and only his elect shall know. For I say unto you this day is my bride and my elect. Yea, I go forth, a sword in one hand and a revelation in the other. And yea, I say unto you that as you begin to look around about you, and as you begin to see me move, yea, you will say, it seems like it's every other day. Seems like it's every day that God is doing something. But I say unto you, one day is as a thousand to me. And yea, I shall move quickly and I shall move swiftly. Yea, kingdoms shall fall and kingdoms shall arise. But yet I say unto you that the kingdom of God shall stand. Because I am coming, I have made preparation. And I am coming for that which belongs to me. Yea, I say unto you, my people, praise and worship me. Yea, fall at my feet and worship me, for I am the living God. Yea, I am your Savior. Yea, I am the one that shall deliver thee from the throes of the enemy. Yea, he goeth to and fro, up and down in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. But I say unto you, he shall not touch the hair of one of my little ones. For yea, I have placed my presence upon you and in you. As you walk forth in my name. As you walk forth, you declare the mighty God among them. For I say unto you, be bold, be brave. Stand, for I shall stand with you. Yea, I shall lay my hand upon your mouth, and you shall speak as a mouthpiece for the living God. For yea, you know, yea, you've been taught, yea, you know my ways. And I say unto you, you are my hand extended unto this world, for this world shall fall. Yea, this world shall fall, saith God. And yea, I shall create, and I shall bring you a new heavens and a new earth, and you shall worship and praise me for the eons of time. For I am God. There is none other like me. There is none. There is none, saith the Lord thy God. For I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. I'm Elohim. I'm Rapha Rohe. I'm El Shaddai. Anything that you need, anything that you want, anything that you desire, if you desire it in me, I shall provide, saith God. For I am coming, and it shall be soon.
Okay, well, are you ready for the word this morning? Let's start out with 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You know, this scripture just, I know I keep saying this to you, but this is such a rich scripture. I keep thinking about this morning, what pops out at me is through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. God doesn't do anything in the earth without a person. Somebody has to believe. Somebody has to turn to him and seek after him. You know, this is a year of the turnaround. To turn around means to change direction. It means to reverse course. And we've been saying that faith causes a turnaround. Faith causes a turnaround. We've been sharing different scriptures with you. One of them is, a just shall live by faith. That's Old Testament, but it's quoted in the New Testament a couple times. And because it's important. The just, or let me say it like this to get into the message. The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous, the just, the ones who are right with God live by faith. Now, I'm going to come back to that a little bit, but think about that. The righteous shall live by faith. Faith is a choice. Faith is a decision. Faith in God is not our default position. It takes effort to walk in faith. It takes a decision to walk in faith. It takes endurance to walk in faith. We said the last couple weeks, as a Christian, you are always living on the edge between fear and faith, between failure and success, between unbelief and believing. You're always living on that precipice. It's going to be one or the other. You're going to either be drawn to faith or you're going to be drawn into fear. You're either going to be drawn into failure or drawn into success. You're going to be drawn into unbelief or drawn into believing. And if you walk in unbelief, guess which way you're going to go? See, if you're going to turn around, you have to make a conscious decision. I am going to believe God. In 1 John 5:5, it says, Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That doesn't mean just that, I believe Jesus was the Son of God. Now, if you recognize Jesus as the Son of God, it demands that you make a decision to live for him. It demands that. It begs you to do that. You cannot, if you would just say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and then ignore everything that he said, well, what difference does it make? But to believe he is the Son of God means you obey him because he is the Son of God. He is Lord over everything. What he says, he means. So there's a whole lot of implications of believing that Jesus is the Son of God. If Jesus is the Son of God, then he died for our sins and was raised from the dead that we might have life. He was made to be sickness on our part that we might be healed. He was made to be unrighteous for us that we might become righteous through his righteousness and not our own. If Jesus is the Son of God, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. All authority in heaven, excuse me, got a dry spot. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. And the Bible says you and I are seated in heavenly places in him. If he's the Son of God. If he's the Son of God, we've got to believe those things and accept those things. And by choice, decide to live according to these concepts and these principles that Jesus is the Son of God. Your decision to believe God in spite of the circumstances will sustain you in this life and prepare you for the next. Your choice to believe in him. Go with me to Hebrews 11. Excuse me. Hebrews 11, we're going to look at verses 13 through 16. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. It's the hall of faith. It's listing all the different people who live by faith. It talks about Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Enoch was taken away that he did not see death because he walked with God. We find Abraham obeyed God. We find all these other people that are listed in Hebrews 11 that live by faith and please God. Now listen to Hebrews 11:13. And this is a part that confuses us, and we don't always understand this. All these people live by faith. But verse 13 says, these all died in faith. See, there's some people that if you have faith, nothing bad will ever happen to you. That's not true. Faith helps us overcome all the negative things in this life. If we didn't have faith in God, well, we just surrender because there's no way of escape. There's no way to change things. But these people died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek after a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, there's a lot of things in here, but the thing I want to draw out, they died in faith. And that shocks a lot of us. In other words, they didn't get what they were believing for. They didn't receive the manifestation that they were trusting God to receive. They died, but they died in faith. What better way can you go than to die in faith? We say, but Gordon, they died. That's the thing. They died, but they stayed in faith. Now, this is important because the verse says, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. At any time, they could have gone back to the old way of living. At any time, they could have gone back to the old way of believing. They could have just quit. You know, and you see so many believers doing this. They're hot for a season. Pentecostals always say you can believe anything for 5 minutes. It's the 6 minutes where you get into trouble because we start checking things out. Well, I don't see the manifestation yet. I don't see it. So our faith begins to wane. Our confidence begins to wane. And there's been way too many Christians that are willing to believe God for the moment, but when the manifestation doesn't come or the plan doesn't work out the way they think it should, they depart from God and they go back to living ungodly lives. They go back to living as though Jesus is not the Son of God, that he made no difference, that it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what you say. And they just give up and they quit on God. And many of us know these people. They've become shipwrecked. They're washed up on shore, and they're the ones that are speaking disparagingly of God. Oh yeah, I believe that faith stuff once. Once? But the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Now, what happened? What happened was they lost relationship with God. Now listen to me on this, because this is really important. Faith is not as much about getting what you are believing for as it is staying in a right relationship with God. Faith helps you, causes you, to maintain a right relationship with God. I was telling Debbie about this. We were listening to some stuff this morning. I had to tell her a little bit about the sermon this morning. I said, we're going to talk about this. How does faith help you maintain a right relationship with God? What is the impact on that? Well, how many good, intimate relationships do you have with people that constantly lie to you, constantly betray you, are constantly undercutting you? So I don't have faith in that person. I don't have confidence in them. But when you give up your faith, you're saying God didn't mean what he said. You're calling him a liar. How can you have relationship, intimate relationship with God if you think he's lying to you? If many people that have fallen away say, this faith thing is only a carrot held out, but you'll never get to the carrot. These guys all died in faith, having pleased God. See, they pleased God. Did they receive what they were believing for? No. But they pleased God because they stayed in a right relationship with God because they believed in spite of the circumstances. Did you get that? Now, I believe that we can obtain what God has spoken to us, but if you think about some of the things that God has said, it's for generations from now. Some of the things Jesus spoke, that generation could walk in it partially, but the next generation more fully, and the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. But there came a time in the history of the church where people got tired of looking. They got tired of waiting for the coming of Christ. How long is this going to take? And so they said, well, maybe we're to go through the persecution. Maybe we're to go through this. Maybe we're to go. And they came up with all these other ideas to explain away the lack of the fulfillment of the promise, rather than just trusting God, knowing sometimes God will fulfill it. He will bring what he said to pass. Amen. See, faith will maintain a right relationship with God. But if I fall out of faith, then I'm breaking off the relationship with God because in my heart, I'm telling myself I can no longer trust God. And many people have fallen in that trap because all their believing and trust of God was to get something. And it wasn't a trust in God. It was the trust in the reward. Now, the Lord kind of showed me this morning. when I first heard the faith message, I had never heard that God would give you anything. I'd never heard that at all. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us that you've got to believe that God is and that he rewards those who diligently seek after him. Well, I never sought after God because I never knew that there was a reward. So when I heard the word of faith, I began to think, I can get some of this stuff. And it gave me hope where I didn't have any hope. And I saw some things beginning to come to pass in my life because now I'm believing for it. I'm beginning to trust God for it. But I never knew you could have this. I never knew you could have peace. I never knew you could have the assurance of salvation. I never knew you could be healed. I mean, we hope so. It's a possibility. But there was no assurance in anything. And so when I heard that God rewards those who diligently seek after him, I found there's a reward. See, my attitude, even when I got out of seminary, my attitude was essentially, I want to start running as hard as I can because like a bullet, I'm going to lose power and I'm just going to slowly go to the earth until finally the bullet just hits the ground and that's it. And so the faster I come out of that muzzle, man, the longer I can go, further I can get, more power I'll have. I found out that's man's law. God's rule is you can grow in faith. God is that you can continue to have ministry. You can continue to do things until you decide, I'm ready to go home. You can still do these things. But see, the earth says you better start now because you don't have many opportunities. And God keeps saying, if you had one opportunity, the call is still there. The anointing is still there. But you got to trust God to get it done. And it may not be for your generation. But you may be planting seeds to see it come to pass in the future. Well, does that mean I'm going to stop believing for it? No. You're planting seeds. One man plants, another man waters, another man brings the harvest in. But we've got to understand our job is to have faith in God. I don't really like that phrase. We get to have faith in God. You hear people in the faith movement sometimes, well, you've got to believe God. No, I get to believe him. I don't have to believe him for anything. It's not a requirement. You hear some people talking about, well, I've got a cold. I guess now I'm going to have faith in God. No. You get to. Now, why is the difference? One is faith is a task. It is an effort. It is laborious. It is difficult. It is hard. But if I believe I'm going to get healed, faith is easy. Faith is a joyful thing because there's a reward out there, and I'm expecting the benefit of the reward of diligently seeking after him. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? Now, what happens if I don't? God doesn't change. His word is still true. It doesn't change who God is. Now, I'm probably already ahead of myself in my notes, but I want to give you some scriptures. Go to Hebrews 11, verse 39. Same chapter. Let's go down to the 39th verse, because this is so important. He says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, but they got a good testimony. God is pleased with them. That's why they're in the list here. He is pleased with them. How many of you, if Jesus would write a Bible today, would like your name in the Bible? In a good way. Okay? In a positive way. Wouldn't that be worth the service? Even if you didn't get the end result, wouldn't it be neat that God would say, look at Peggy. Look at her faith. Look what she's gone through. Look, she stood up. She didn't back down. Wouldn't that be a marvelous thing? See, having obtained a good report instead of, well, I knew this person one time, and boy, they were really strong for God, but, you know, something went sour, and they fell back into drugs and alcohol and prostitution, and they just lost their whole life. So don't be shipwrecked like them. That's not a good testimony. That's not a good report. It's a better report. They didn't move. Even though things didn't work out the way they wanted, they still kept their faith in God. So after all these things, verse 39, after all these things, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God, having prepared something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us, therefore we also, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when you make it public that you're believing for something and it doesn't come to pass, there is shame that wants to attach itself to you. And the world will heap it on. But Jesus, you know, think about when he was crucified.
And you said you were the Son of God. You said pull down this temple and in 3 days you'll raise it up again. And look, you're dying on the cross. Ha, ha, ha.
Jesus endured that shame knowing he would go through it, but because he saw the power of the resurrection. We look past all the difficulties of this life. And one of our hopes is, I believe God's word for now, but if it doesn't come to pass, the resurrection will get rid of my shame. That's why a lot of people don't want to try to live by faith, because they don't want to endure the shame. What if it doesn't work? Has anybody other than me ever asked that question? What if it doesn't work? When you pray for people, what if it doesn't work? Well, that's where you've got to get to the point of where I'm just going to believe God, because I can't heal anybody anyway. But God is the healer. And God said, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Like I said last week, some of you just don't recover as quick as you ought to. But praise be to God, his word is sure. Let me give you a couple verses. John 6:63. He says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. See, God's word is spirit. It's life. Are you going to stop believing in spiritual things? Are you going to stop believing in the life of God just because one thing didn't work out? Are you going to quit on God? His word is spirit. It's life. Where are you going to go to get life? Where are you going to go to get the spirit of the living God if not from God himself? If you start denying the word of God, if you start denying his will for your life, if you start saying, well, you know, that's no longer for me, then where else are you going to go to get it? He said, my words, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. In Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. His word will endure forever. That's an awesome statement. That's a powerful thing that Jesus is saying. But now get this. Psalm 105:19. Until the time that his word came to pass, that means they've heard the word of God, they're believing the word of God, and they're waiting until that word comes to pass. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord tested him. We know that Jesus is the physical manifestation of the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among men. But we have a wrong idea when we start to believe God that we are putting God's Word to the test. I've heard people tell me, I'm putting the Word of God to the test and seeing if it really works or not. No. Did you know the Bible says the Word is putting you to the test? To see whether you will believe it or not. Now that changes things, doesn't it? Now why can the Word of God test me? Because the Word is spirit and it's life. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but his Word will endure forever. So am I going to believe temporary things or am I going to believe the Word of God? That's a test of me. That's not a test on God. That's not a test on his Word. He's already told us my Word's going to endure forever. My word is spirit. It can't pass away. My word is life. It is the very life and breath of God himself. But that word will test me. Do I believe it? Will I hang on to it? How long will I hang on to it? It is all a test about me. And if I throw that word aside, I'm the one that's failed, not the word. I'm the one that missed it. Not God. His word is sure and amen. Amen. It never changes. See, God's word comes to test us. It reveals our heart. And that's a scary thing. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Sometimes that word will come to me and say, "Lord, you know I want to do this. But in my heart, I'd rather do something else." I know, God, I ought to want these things, but my heart wants. See, His word comes to test me. Am I going to do what His word tells me to do, or am I going to do what my emotions tell me to do? Am I going to yield to the word of God in my life, or just continue to do my own thing? Every time His word comes to me, it is a calling to step into some place that I've not been before. It's a calling to step upward, to walk in a deeper reality of things I already know, to open doors where I can go into places that I've never been. Opportunity surrounds us. Pastor Paul, I appreciate him because he keeps talking about being soul winners. And we need to get that attitude of being a soul winner. Because every person you meet is an opportunity. Every person you meet is a doorway that you can open up and change their life forever. Every person is. And we see it, and we get intimidated by it. God sees it as an opportunity. How much of God will you share? You may not be able to share a whole lot. But maybe if they're cussing and they're using Jesus' name in vain, maybe just look at them and says, "You know them too." That'll get them. "I know that guy you're talking about. He's not like that. Let me tell you, he doesn't damn anybody. No, he's a blesser. I know him." "Oh, huh? What?" You can shock people. I'm throwing away some old videotapes, and I came across one from Ken Gobb, and one of the stories Ken Gobb tells is he was on an airplane. And this woman with beautiful hair sat down next to him. And he's just saying, "Lord, how can I witness to her? How can I share?" And she's just preening her hair the whole trip, just looking in the mirror, just, you know, fluffing it. And he says, "Ma'am, can I tell you, you have beautiful hair?" "Oh, thank you. I think it's real pretty, too." He says, "I'm just thinking what a shame it's going to be." "What?" "What a shame it's going to be when you go to hell and all your hair is burned up." Oh, she panicked. "You mean my hair's going to burn up?" "Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ." And he led her to the Lord. All because she loved her hair. I mean, Ken Gobb had a way of seeing opportunities. You know, I would probably sit there, "That lady is vain." And I'd sit there and judge her and condemn her. And God's saying, "Talk to her about her hair." It's like, "Well, I don't want to feed her vanity, Lord." So, do you want her to get saved? Oh, there's all kinds of ways to do this. All kinds of opportunities God puts out. But see, the word of God, again, judges us because it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It separates those things, and it makes it clear to us if we pay attention. Psalm 138:2 says, now get this, this is a powerful scripture. Talking to the Lord, it says, "For you, Lord, have magnified your word above all your name." What's the name of God? "I am that I am, Yahweh. I am the everlasting one. I am the eternal one." Oh God, you are forever. He has elevated His word above even His name. Do you understand how important His word is? You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's letting that word permeate us, letting that word speak to us and begin to say, "Lord, I believe your word over my circumstances. I believe your word over all my troubles. I believe your word in spite of everything that goes against it. I believe your word. I choose to believe your word." Well, what happens if it doesn't work? Do you want a good testimony? Yeah. Well, just believe it. I said, we get so focused on the reward, we get so focused on the end result that we will fall out of relationship with God that produces the results because we don't see it happening coming quick enough in our expectations. This is why some people say, and I believe this is wrong, but some people say, well, God's working something out in you. Well, He is, to get you to believe. That's what He's trying to work out in you. He's trying to get you to believe what God said. He's trying to get you to believe the opportunity you have to magnify the Word of God even above His name. See, oh, this just came to me. You can lift up the name of Jesus publicly. You can talk about Jesus. And people go, uh-huh. But if you don't believe the Word of God, they'll discount everything you say about His name. He elevated His Word even above His name. Because if you believe His Word, they'll want to know who His name is or what His name is. They'll want to know about Jesus if we live it. But if we're not living by faith, now again, going back, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. As long as I'm living by faith, I'm in right relationship with God. But when I choose to go my own way, I've fallen out of relationship with God. How do I get back in? Believe. Take him at His word. Just believe God. Psalm 107, 19 and 20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Now, verse 20 tells us how He saved them out of their distresses. Anybody in here ever have distress? Okay, how's God going to save you? Listen to verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. How did He get them out of their mess? He sent the word. And if they would believe on the word, it'll deliver you from that situation. But He sent His word. Now, notice He didn't send His name. Because if you don't know His word, His name doesn't mean anything to you. Why did Moses ask God what His name was? He's saying, well, who should I say sent me? And people say, the theologians say this. Nobody really knew the name of God until God revealed it to Moses. It's not true. You'll find the name of God, Yahweh, all through the Old Testament. Why did Moses ask the question? Because they're going to ask me, who sent you? And if I tell them, Abba Dabba, they're going to say, we don't know Him. You're a false prophet. So God, I've got to know who You are. I am that I am. I am Yahweh. Okay. So I go back. This is the same God that spoke to Abraham. Oh. This is the same God that spoke to Isaac. This is the same God that spoke to Jacob. This is the same God that spoke to Joseph. Oh, so it's the same God. Now we can believe You. His name now has significance because we've seen His word fulfilled through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We've seen the word of God spoken and fulfilled. We've seen that God is true to His word and brings His word to pass. Now when you say, I am that I am, I know who you're talking about. But see, if I just go into a crowd of people and say, Yahweh sent me here to go, we don't know Yahweh. Is that a new business in town? We don't know anything about that. Let's see if they know the word. And you'll say, Yahweh sent me. I know Him too. What did He say? See, what did He say? What's the word of Yahweh to me that I can believe it, that I can receive it? Why do we print out the words of the Lord that are spoken here? Because it's the word of the Lord. That's a powerful word this morning. There's a lot in that. We went over one of Pastor Paul's words last Wednesday. It was a powerful word. It was an awesome word. Just God is speaking so many things to us. But see, it's because He's exalted His word even above His name. And as we study the Word, we're finding about who the person of God is and what He's revealing to us. And we find out it's the same Yahweh that wrote Isaiah. It's the same Yahweh that wrote Jeremiah. It's the same Yahweh that wrote Hosea and Habakkuk and Deuteronomy and Numbers and Genesis. It's the same God who did all those things. He has exalted His Word. That's why so many people, well, I worship God today and I'm a Christian because I believe in God. Well, what do you believe? And they can't tell you anything because they don't believe the word of God Well, that was for then. It's not for today. Well, you just call God a liar then. God's as changeable as your living room furniture. How can they have trust in a God that has no stability, that keeps changing his mind every time there's a new pope in town? Every time there's a fresh prophet and God's changed his mind again, that's not our God. That's not the God who said, I never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Hebrews chapter 10, back up just a chapter, verses 35 and 36, because of all these things I've said to you, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See, so often we're looking for the fulfillment of the promise before we complete everything. God says, after you've done all this, see, then comes the fulfillment. Then comes the fulfillment of the promise. But listen, he says, don't throw away your confidence. That word confidence, I looked that up about a year ago. Literally means boldness of speech. Don't cast away what you're saying in faith. Don't throw away your confession of faith. Don't throw away holding and adhering to the Word of God just because things don't look good for a moment. Do not cast away your confidence, your boldness of speech, which has great reward. If you will keep agreeing with God, that's what confession is. I'm agreeing with God. Now, that doesn't mean I'm just quoting his words. You know, write on a paper 1,000 times when you're bad, I will not talk in class. It's not just repeating it. It's getting into agreement with God. That's what confession is. I'm agreeing with God. God says by his word says, word, get it? Word says, I am healed by his stripes. I'm going to agree with God. Yeah, but you don't look too good. I'm healed by his stripes. You don't sound very good. I'm healed by his stripes. I'm healed. And you keep on. You keep on. I'm not going to back away from it. Now, that doesn't mean you have to say to every doctor, I'm healed by his stripes in Jesus' name. It's like, don't get mad at it. Don't get touchy about it. But when they give you a bad report, you can just tell yourself, I believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I believe I'm healed. I'm not throwing away my confidence. No. I'm not throwing away my God. Whatever he said to me, he said he meant, he's going to bring it to pass. I'm not going to throw it away. I'm not going to give it up. I am not going to cast out. Just because it looks bad? No. I'm going to hold on to it. By his stripes, I'm healed. Now think about it. The worst thing that could happen, you die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you lost how? There's too many people just, oh God, I want to leave this life and be with you. Well, you keep saying that, you might die young. Just because you want to be with the Lord. Don't go that way. Hang on. Live as long as you can. Prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. But walk in the power of the living God. Amen. Don't throw away your confidence. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance. How long is this going to take? Well, you just added some length to it. Every time you groan, every time you complain, you just added more time. Because now you got to undo that statement of unbelief. And you got to build your confidence up again to get back to where you were when you started your confession. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, after I've accomplished everything that God wants, after I've agreed with him, after I've believed on him, after I've done these things and worked them out in my own life, that I believe this above everything else, you may receive the promise. You may receive the promise. Now, see, I'm going to throw in the scripture here. The Bible tells us a double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord. So if we're halting between two opinions, you've got to get out of that. You're either healed or you're not. And if you're looking to your body, let me say something about your body you may not know. I read this years ago. It says every person gets cancer at least 2 to 3 times in their lifetime. Most of them don't know it because their body fights it off. And this is one of the points that the book was making. If you find there's cancer, you don't know if it's coming or going. You could have been a lot worse a month ago. And it's getting better. Hallelujah. Say, well, if they find cancer, I can't say that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Why not? Maybe it's already on the way out. Maybe your body's kicking into gear by the grace of God, and you're fighting off that cancer, and it's on its way out. See, they told David that his, in the accident, his I want to get this right, his what nerve the, I can't even say it. His optic nerve, okay, his optic nerve was severed. And they said he'll always be blind in that eye. I don't know how long it was, but he's got sight in the eye. Now see, if they would have just agreed, his optic nerve is severed, he'll be blind in that eye for the rest of his life. Well, guess what? He'd be blind in that eye. Because they agreed with the wrong report. But God gave Roxanne a word. He's going to be all right. So when the doctor told her about the eye, God told me he's going to be all right. And she hung on to that. She hung on to that. And it wasn't just a hopeful hanging on to it. She hung on to it because God spoke it to her. He exalted his word even above his name. God spoke that word to me. He's got vision. He can see. Isn't that wonderful? See, this is an example. Whose report are you going to believe? We're going to believe the Lord's report. The Lord's report says we are healed. The Lord's report says he is with us, will never leave us. His report says, do not cast away your confidence, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See, this is one of the things. I don't have to do faith. I have faith in the one who sets me free. Faith is simply my recognition that what I go through in this life is temporary, but God is eternal. My hope, my faith is in the one who is greater than this world. That's why we pursue. We believe in the greater one. We believe in the one who's above this. We believe in the one who is our healer, our redeemer, our savior, our deliverer, our provider. We believe in the one. And he can turn it all around quickly. After we've done everything, what's that? To get to believe in Jesus. To get to believe in the one. The healer, the restorer, to believe in him. Oh, it's our it's a gift that God has given to us that we can choose to believe in him. Amen. Man, let's stand up. Golly. Praise be to God. Father God, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, that you have set us free. Father, from every curse, from every sickness, every disease, every weakness, every infirmity. We thank you, God, you are our provider. You are the giver of all good things, and life is a good thing. You have given us your word, which is spirit, and it is life. And it changes, it turns things around in this world to conform with your heavenly world. God, we give you praise for Jesus, that he has made this all possible for us. For we believe in you. We believe in the word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We believe in that word, God, that was crucified, that was raised from the dead, that is seated at the right hand of the Father, that all authority and all power in heaven and earth has been given to him. And we believe we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And we believe your word works for us. God, we thank you. You are not against us. You are for us. And you have sent your word and healed us and delivered us because it's your word, God. It is that spirit. It is your spirit, God. It is your spirit into us. It is your word, your spirit, your life into us, God. And we receive that in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive miracles. We receive turnarounds. We receive, God, that you are more than able to do all these things and do much more than what we can think or ask or even imagine. God, you are able to do it, but God, you are willing to do it for us. For we have better promises than Abraham had. We have a better covenant than what Isaac had. We have a better covenant because of Jesus Christ, that we can walk with God and know him for ourselves. For this, God, we give you the praise and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.